From the KTOO newsroom here in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Juneau police gave very few details last week when they announced that they arrested Anthony Michael Migliaccio in connection with the killing of Faith Rogers. But court documents tell the story of how he ended up in police custody for a separate incident. Back in June, Migliaccio was accused of harassment by a barista at a coffee shop in the Valley. She said he threw a cup of feces at her, according to court documents. 2 days later, the police obtained footage of the incident, and the case was forwarded to the city's attorney's office, according to the Juneau police. Nothing in the court documents explained what happened with the case for the next 3 months. Juneau police couldn't say what happened after they handed it off to the city attorney, and the city attorney's office did not respond to requests on Monday. But on September 21st, Faith Rogers' body was found near the Coq d'Aguin Day or Brotherhood Bridge Trail. Charging documents for the murder charge show that Migliaccio was detained and questioned that day and then presumably released. A little over a week later, he was arrested in the harassment charges, a misdemeanor. He wasn't sentenced, though, until the day before he was arrested for murder in connection to the killing of Faith Rogers. That arrest took place at an address consistent with the Lemon Creek Correctional Center. The state declined to comment on any questions that pertain to the murder charge, according to the Juneau District Attorney's Office. 1 year ago, Interior Secretary Deb Haaland issued a declaration to remove a slur against Indigenous women from place names on federal lands. Nearly 650 new names were finalized this fall, including one for a Dillingham Creek that bore the slur. But as KDLG's Izzy Ross reports, three elementary students in Dillingham had been pushing to change the creek's name long before the federal government started its process.
Alora Wassily, Trista Wassily, and Harmony Larson have worked to change the creek's name since 2021. That finally happened in September. In an interview shortly after the announcement, Alora said they had put a lot of effort into reaching that goal.
It feels good because we worked on it for so long and it finally got changed, and we just feel relieved. We felt accomplished.
They began advocating for the change when they were in fifth grade, after they had heard a local story about seven sisters who had lived along the creek, and how both the creek and a road of the same name were marked with the derogatory word.
And then we thought about it, and then we decided to change it, and then we talked to our teacher, Miss Jensen, when we were in fifth grade, and then we just started researching about other places, and then we started working on a presentation.
Now they're in seventh grade. The students have presented their research many times. They started with the Dillingham Parent Advisory Committee and the school board.
We were all really nervous our first time, and then after a while we got used to it and we just got normal about it.
Since then, they have brought their research to the Chulalong Tribal Council, the First Alaskans Institute, Elders and Youth Conference, and the Bristol Bay Native Corporation. Robin Cheney helped the students prepare. She's the Federal Programs Coordinator for Dillingham City Schools and has been an adult advisor for the students.
Them standing behind their information was really powerful. They were part of educating people here, including myself. They received mostly positive feedback and support. And really, their confidence grew because their facts were accurate, and it was an issue that obviously became really important, not just to us, but on a federal level, that Secretary Haaland would take that up.
When U.S. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland announced last year that the word would be removed from geographic features across the country, the students' work got more attention. And they had to shift their approach, taking their grassroots advocacy and fitting it into a political process.
Our process went from slow and steady to very, very rapid. And so it shifted from us educating and garnering local support for change to a government-to-government relationship following a tribal process and doing tribal consultation between our local Chulalong tribe and the federal government.
The students recommended renaming the creek Ulla Creek, and they received broad support from the community during a listening session last spring. But at the last minute, a Chulalong Tribal Council member suggested a different name, Amal Creek. Cheney said that was difficult.
It was just a hard pill to swallow because that name hadn't gone through the public process. It was in their regular meeting, but it wasn't a name that had been carried forward in the public process that they set forth. It was surprising and upsetting, but they still achieved the goal, which was to remove a derogatory place name and replace it with a traditional name, a Yuchdu name that has positive connotations for a woman. And that happened.
The students are the latest in a long legacy of work to recenter Native place names in Bristol Bay. Francisca Damoski is the land manager for the Bristol Bay Native Corporation.
Hi, my name is Francisca Damoski. I am from Togiak, but live here in Anchorage.
She oversees the Land Department's cultural heritage efforts, including the Bristol Bay Native Place Names Project. She says it's one of the ways the corporation celebrates and preserves that heritage.
Amal Creek translates to great-grandparent and is a Yuchdun word. And in this case, it references a group of sisters or great-grandmothers who, according to traditional stories, traveled to the area and settled near the creek. So the community recognized the role of the great-grandmothers in their families and chose the name to honor their ancestors.
Damoski says the Native Corporation supports the federal efforts to change the derogatory names of places across the country, including in Dillingham.
BBNC is pleased with the outcome, and I applaud the young students for taking leadership in making this change happen for their community.
The students' work isn't over. They are now focused on the next steps to change the community's signs and replace them with the new name, Amau Creek. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
The story of residential schools in Alaska is more complicated than recent headlines suggest. In Sitka, as part of Native American Heritage Month events, a panel discussion was held to examine the complex history of Sitka's former residential school, Sheldon Jackson. KCAW's Meredith Riddick reports.
It's a rainy Sunday night in Sitka, and the front room of Fraser Hall on the Sheldon Jackson campus is bustling as about 20 people gather for a conversation about residential schools in Alaska. It's an appropriate location for the subject. Sheldon Jackson used to be a residential school. Moderator Yedikuk'a Dion Brady Howard spoke along panelists Bob Sam and Rebecca Polson about their work on the history of the campus. The campus opened in 1878 as a training school for Native boys. It also served as a boarding high school and college at different points until it closed in 2007. Polson, a local historian who interviewed Sheldon Jackson graduates after the school closed, said the story doesn't necessarily follow the narrative of many residential schools.
Every single graduate of the high school we talked to loved it. Like, they use that word love. I loved SJ.
Brady Howard similarly remembered a lot of pride from people who graduated from Sheldon Jackson High School.
They kind of had a rivalry between Sheldon Jackson and Mount Edgecombe as far as school spirit.
Residential schools have made headlines in recent years with the discovery of mass graves at schools in Canada. Brady Howard was careful to note that even under the best circumstances, these schools still worked to erase language, rituals, and traditions.
And it's this notion that, you know, people needed to be saved and civilized and introduced to religion and English and Western education.
For Polson, the goal in documenting these stories is to prevent complex perspectives from being buried in time. Sam, a former tribal council member and longtime community member, uncovers history in a more literal way. He spends his free time clearing brush and writing headstones in Sitka cemeteries, including the plots behind the Sheldon Jackson campus where many staff and students were buried. He recalled pointing out graves to a group of volunteers one day.
And I showed them, oh, that's the founding member of the Alaskan Native Brotherhood. He's the one that built this flume. Oh, that's a founding member of so-and-so. Oh, yeah, those are the people that organized the 1904 potlatch.
For Sam, restoring these local plots is a way to keep histories alive. The events of Native American Heritage Month are celebrating those histories and others with events through the end of the month. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Meredith Reddick.
And here in Juneau, there's a high wind warning in effect for Juneau from 3 a.m. to 9 p.m. tomorrow. And currently, it's 25 degrees. You're listening to KTOO.